Shout it loud, hallelujah. Shout a Jericho destroying, hallelujah. Loud shout a miracle receiving, hallelujah. Before we sit down and go into the words of God, there are some breakthrough prayers that I would like everyone here to pray. Prayer that enforces the fact that miracle can still happen and that you can still possess all your possessions left in the air. You say this the way I'm going to say it. Say, I puncture the imagination of oppression. I puncture the imagination of oppression targeted against my life. In the name of Jesus, begin to puncture the imagination. It must not function. That's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Say this with holy anger. Thou power of repeated oppression. Thou power of repeated affliction. Die! In the name of Jesus. The power of repeated oppression. The power of repeated oppression. The power of repeated affliction. Die. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, environmental oppression. Scatter by fire. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to declare it. Scatter the environmental oppression. In the name of Jesus. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. Say, every tongue speaking woe into my life, dry up. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Masikaya boshendera boko sentelaba. Yes, dry up, dry up. Yes, dry up. In Jesus' name we pray. It is important that you pray this with boiling anger. Satanic quota of tragedy. Assigned to this year. Can you say this loud and clear? Scatter! In the name of Jesus. Scatter the quota. That's right. Yes. Maria Boko Soponde Kaya Boshentia. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I blow up every altar of affliction erected against me. Can I hear the sister saying this? Yes, blow them up. Is that the best the sisters can do here? I want the sisters to put in more effort. Yes, blow them up. Brothers, shout it loud and clap. Everybody saying it together. Blob! In the name of Jesus. Maria Potekatea. Narabo Soponakaya Boshenteraba. Nasente Kaya Boshenteraba Kayaba. Ria Pola Kayaba. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you. We praise your holy name for bringing us here. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Open our understanding. Lay your hands upon us. Help us to war a good warfare. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. This morning, what we're looking at is what you can call a dark saying message. And the message is going to be slow. Criminally slow. Because I want you to understand every word that I'm going to speak from here. There is a lot of problems that the enemy has arranged for man. But then, every man's mountain is the mountain of his ignorance. There are so many things that will happen to us. Sometimes you try and find out what the origin is so that you can address it. You don't know. But the Bible says God revealed deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness. Also the light dwelleth within. What we are discussing has caused the human race a lot of sorrow. Unfortunately, not many ministries, not many ministers, not many pastors know these things or can even address it. But it is a strong reason why many are passing through what seems like unsolvable problems now. So what we're looking at is what I call the problem. The problem of stolen wives and stolen husbands. The problem of stolen wives and stolen husbands. And I'd like you to listen very carefully. The first place we want to go is Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, I read from verse 10. Genesis 12, from verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near unto Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, because they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Abram went to Egypt to sojourn there. He arranged with his wife Sarah to tell the Egyptians that she was not his wife, and that she was his sister. Truly, she was his half-sister. But she had become more than that. She was now a wife. Abraham was afraid that the ungodly Egyptians would kill him for his pretty wife. Based on the half-truth that Abraham told, the king of Egypt captured the wife. Verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abraham was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken in just like that into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants and asses and camels. He gave Abraham this unwanted gift, because Abraham said, It's my sister. So Abraham collected the gift by force. What happened in verse 17? And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. Because of what? Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, What is this that thou hast done? Why do you not tell me that she was your wife?
Why says thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold, take thy wife, take her, and go thy way. The king had broken a spiritual law innocently, but he still had to face the repercussion of the spiritual law that he had broken. Please note this very well. The king stole a wife, and because of that, great plagues came not only on the king, but his household. That is, a stolen wife in the family could be a source of trouble for the whole family and down the generational line. You have prayers to pray here today. If your father has wives that are your age, there are troubles that we put ourselves in without knowing. The Bible says great plagues fell upon Pharaoh and the whole of his household. The plagues only ceased when the object of contention was removed. As far as Sarai remained in that house, Pharaoh was in trouble. That is story number one. Please note this very well. In Genesis chapter 20, we see another case. Genesis chapter 20, we see another case entirely. From verse 1. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. These are very serious matters. This is why I'm slowing down. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarai, his wife, again, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God must have loved that man. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Although Abimelech did not know. He did it innocently. He didn't know. Ignorance is no excuse for punishment of spiritual offense. Verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. He said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Say thee not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffered thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die. Not only him, O thou and all that are thine, because of a stolen wife. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. Verse 10. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place, they will slay me for my wife's sake. You see? Verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid servants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. All kinds of terrible problems, female problems, gynecological problems could come when a wife is stolen into a household. Abimelech was still alive, but as far as God was concerned, he was already a dead man, merely waiting the day of execution. From the moment he stole that wife, he was a dead man. God himself had borne the king witness that, well, I know that you did it innocently, but that does not excuse you. Even being a king did not help his cause. For God said, your status notwithstanding, you are in trouble. So it is a clear thing then, beloved, that when this man had committed this offense, great problems came upon him and his household. Abraham had to pray for him so that the health would go back into his household. So apart from the death sentence that came on Abimelech, all other things were wrong in the family again. The men procured a death sentence, the women procured serious problems. Nobody was getting pregnant there again, no matter what they did, everything was upside down. Doesn't matter what the doctors were saying, but everybody was in trouble there. All because another man had acquired a wife that belonged to somebody else. Also, all the males in the household were dead men, although people don't know, they're already dead. Meaning that they were no longer going to be able to live beyond a particular date, beyond a particular age. They were no longer going to live their life to the full because their father stole a wife. Their hopes and aspiration and destiny has been cut short because somebody stole a wife. People were going to be mourning the deaths at some points in time when they should be celebrating their promotions. All because a wife was stolen. This is an area we sometimes don't want to go. It's an area deliverance ministers don't even touch. But it's a very serious area. Very soon I will now bring it down to our level on how you could be involved now. But let's look at other examples from the Word of God a little bit more. Of these two that you've read now, you can see a stolen wife or a stolen husband can give you serious trouble. And the trouble can go around the household. The trouble is like the leprosy of Naaman that came on Gehazi, that is now going to affect the whole of the household of Gehazi. Some of us need to pray here today until our voice disappears. Because this is a serious trouble. Because the man that married the stolen wife that is now causing trouble for everybody is dead. But the problem is on ground. And we need to erase it. In 2 Samuel chapter 11. I read from verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And the shooters shoot from off the wall. So, verse 23. 11, 23, sorry. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevail against us, and came out unto us into the field, and were upon them even unto the entrance of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servant, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, bare him a son. But the thing that David did displeased the Lord. David had stolen the wife of Uriah. And what happened? Serious trouble. Serious trouble. Look at what God said as a result of this. From verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. From verse 9, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, number one, the sword shall never depart from thine house. It is still happening now in Jerusalem. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Number two, thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. Number three, I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them to thy neighbors, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Number four, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And verse 14, which is number five, albeit because by this deed thou hast given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. David stole the wife of Uriah. God pronounced upon the king David a sentence similar to that that was pronounced upon Pharaoh, that was pronounced upon Abimelech. And this kind of judgment describes a kind of death peculiar to men who usually do this kind of thing. And complications and all kinds of things, the Bible says, will happen to the wives of David. Are you here today and you notice that all the women in your family have serious problems? They have terrible problems getting married, terrible problems having marital peace. Perhaps there was one Abimelech in your father's house, either present or past, who innocently or forcefully had deprived a lesser man of his wife. Trouble may be happening now. There might have been someone in that family line who took a husband that is not supposed to be ours, and now people are passing through the troubles. This kind of prayer is very, very strong prayers. There are many, many aspects of these stolen wives and stolen husbands that concerns us this day. Let's now look at how it concerns us. Number one, when there is no dowry, no engagement, no marriage, and you are living with a man or a woman, the man is a thief. You have just stolen a whole human being. No dowry, no engagement, no marriage, and you are living together, having children. By definition, those children are bastards. And then you are now writing letters to the problem that used to happen to those who stole wives. If maybe you didn't do anything like this yourself, but in your family line somebody has done it and you flow from that line, maybe why you are suffering now. Number two, how it concerns us. When you are sleeping with or befriending a man or a woman, you are sleeping with her or you are befriending her, and this person is not your ordained wife, it's not your divinely ordained wife, you're a thief. Three, when somebody is using prophetic manipulation, money, or position to win a man or a woman, you're a thief. You're stealing. You're using your money, your wealth, your position. You're using prophecy to make somebody to subject herself as a wife to you or to somebody else. We are all thieves. All those that are involved in that kind of thing. Four. All who practice boyfriends and girlfriends, they fall under this category. Because marriage is for men and women, not boys and girls. They are all thieves. Five. When you say you are born again, you are spirit-filled. You have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even as we are talking now, the only thing you and your wife did was court marriage. No pastoral blessing. You are a thief. Because as a child of God, no child of God, no marriage by a child of God is complete without somebody standing as a priest to represent God or as a pastor to bless it. Six, when you are an expert at concocting adultery of the heart against the opposite sex, then you are a thief. At least you can be on your chair, but you're already sleeping with several women. Or you're a woman, you're already sleeping with men in your heart. You're a thief. You've stolen a man or a woman. Seven, when there is someone in your ancestry who stole a wife or who stole a husband, their punishment flow across to you. Eight, whenever there is marital unfaithfulness, that is all forms of adultery, they are all stealing. It's part of what the Bible calls stolen wives, stolen husbands, and all those punishments you see that came upon Abimelech, that came upon Pharaoh, that came upon David, those people are just writing letters to them. You may be surprised that there are people who come to church and they are still living in chronic adultery, both male and female. You are writing letters to the punishment of Abimelech, punishment of Pharaoh, punishment of David. Now, writing love letters to a person who is not your spouse, you are not married to this person. You are writing a love letter to a married woman. You are writing a love letter to a married man. You are a thief. In the modern sense, if it's not letter you are writing, you are sending text messages, you are still a thief. Ten. All forms of polygamy is what you can call massive stealing. This is why peace in the world is a difficult thing to attain. Many have married wives that is not their wife, many have married husbands that is not their husband, and because they have deprived others from having the right partner, there is confusion all over the place. 11. Every act of disvirgining a woman who eventually is not your wife is a serious spiritual transaction and serious covenant. To be quite honest with you, it's a blood covenant you have formed. If eventually you didn't marry that person, you are a thief. Meaning that a lot of young men here have to pray today. 12. When you are buying unexplainable present to seduce a man or a woman, nobody asks for present, you are buying it. And the present is not because you are happy with the person, but you just want to seduce the person. You are a thief. 13. If you are depriving another woman or another man of the full love of the rightful wife or husband by your unholy interference, you're a thief. Meaning that all strange women are massive thieves. 14. If anybody has ever participated in raping a woman, the Bible position for that person you raped, whether you were an armed robber before you raped the person, whether you were a child of the devil before you raped the person, the Bible position is that you must marry the person. So if you raped somebody, disvirgin the person, and now you didn't marry the person now, whoever you marry now, you are a thief. You can find that in Deuteronomy 22. When you get to go and read it very well. Point number 15 is this. Accidental pregnancies. The Bible view is that you must marry her. You don't marry the person you got that pregnant in secondary school or junior school. So now you say you are born again, you have abandoned that one long, long time ago, or you abandoned that other day, you are marrying another person now, you are a present thief. That's the standard scripture, unfortunately. Point number 16. If you marry an unbeliever, you are a Christian, you say you are born again, you went to marry an unbeliever. According to Malachi chapter 2, 11 to 12, all you have done is that you have stolen a wife from the devil. And the devil will show you pepper. Point number 17. When somebody gets married to a widow, within a year, when the husband died, you're a thief. There's a case, the husband died in January. By March, this man had come forward to marry her. And this man is the husband's best friend. The man is a thief. A powerful thief indeed. At least before the man died, they have been practicing it. Point number 18 is this. The unholy capture of fiancé of people. Chief bridesmaid taking away the husband to be is all stealing. Those people who are in overseas country, they go and marry because they want documents to stay in that country. They are all thieves. Point number 20. When somebody goes and gets a charm or a fetish power to attract a man or a woman, you are stealing. Those of you who were here several years back when I was ministering at one choir festival, I remember sharing with you about a man who was eating soup in one woman's house and therefore abandoned his correct wife. But one day, it was the woman who normally went to fetch the soup for him. But one day he needed more soup, so he went there. The woman went to the toilet. He went there to take the soup himself. He put the spoon really down into the pot. By the time he would raise the spoon, what come up was pant. So the man has been eating pant soup. So the woman cooking that kind of soup, you are a thief. If you have cooked it before you got born again, you are still a thief. And the repercussion may be troubling your life now. Point number 21. When a stolen wife or a stolen husband, they are your parents. It will definitely affect your life. It will affect your life. It's a very serious matter. Point number 22. When, as a young lady, you were collecting money from a rich man because you wanted to finance your education. You were 20, the man was 55. Now you got your degree. And you say, I cannot marry the old man. But meanwhile, you have used his money to train yourself, and then you went to marry somebody else. The fellow who married you is a thief. You yourself, you're a thief. There have been cases when some herbalists will say, well, if I cure this person of his infirmity, I will marry her. Prophet will say, if I cure this person, I will marry her. All those prophets and herbalists, they are thieves. If you have them in your family line, you need to pray. Finally, if a woman ran off from a man on grounds of poverty to go and marry somebody who she claims is richer, the man who marries the wife of that poor man is in trouble because it's God who fight. That is a curse called the curse of the innocent. Herein, beloved, lies a great problem which we don't usually address. which we don't even know how to address sometimes. What is to be done if this kind of situation is on ground? Number one is restitution, where it is possible. But in most cases, it's not possible because those who cause the trouble are dead. Then what we need to do now is to remove the umbrella from our head so that these curses can be lifted away. Then the next thing we need to do is to wage war against the powers behind these stolen wives and stolen husbands. And then the next thing we need to do is to repossess everything this kind of activity has stolen from our lives. We have prayers to pray here. And the only people who are free, who should not bother to pray these prayers. If you had sat down to think, and you find that your great-great-great-grandfather did a very proper marriage. The great-great one did a proper marriage. He didn't marry a slave. He didn't force somebody to marry. You know, don't bother to prepare for the rest of us. Your great-grandfather, you find that that one too, well, was born again, married one wife. Then you don't need to pray. But if you cannot even remember what they did to themselves, and you discover that even your own mother does not have a marriage certificate, she was selling kuno on the street when they gathered her, then you have prayers to pray. Rise up on your feet, beloved. All eyes closed. There are serious problems that come with things like this. Unexplainable stress, marital distress, gynecological problems, plagues, men walking about like corpses, academic stagnancy, not fulfilling your expectations. All these can be outflow of stolen wives and stolen husbands. My sister, how did you marry your husband? Better pray hard if the method is wrong. Was it that the man was coming to greet somebody else and you were making faces at him to capture him? Then you need to pray. All eyes closed. If we start the prayers and you begin to feel dizzy, don't worry. You better continue the prayer. You are feeling dizzy. It means that you are concerned. It means that it's been stealing from you. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here tonight and you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, do so very quickly now before we start this prayer. Say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand and say what I'm going to say after. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen very carefully. If you are here tonight too, you are born again, your wife was born again, both of you were born again, before you got married, you started sleeping with each other. You are both thieves. Thieves. And you need to pray to recover what the enemy will begin to drain away from your life as from that day. The first prayer we want to pray is three in number. It's completely uncensored. You open your mouth like fire and like thunder, louder than anyone here. Every problem from my father's house, emanating from stolen wives and stolen husbands. Can I hear the sisters shouting this loud and clear? Brothers, shout it loud and clear. Death! In the name of Jesus. It is important to pray now. You may not have this opportunity again. Yes. Yes. Spirit of the living God, begin to move all over this place. Let every yoke of the enemy Having to do with marriage, be broken. Let them 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 be broken. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I have to be more serious than this, though. I see a man who was almost breaking through. Then he slowed down again. Anointing of the bastard. Of my father's arm. In the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Bopola kasete ya boshenta. Riboko saponde kaya boshenta raba. Jesus' name we pray. We are moving. We are getting somewhere now. Say, my father. If my father is not my father, deliver me by fire. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. So much about the ancestral ones. Now where you are, it is time to bow down your own heads. And if you have anything to confess to the Lord, confess it on the position that you will not go back to the sin. But if you still want to go back, don't bother. But if you confess it tonight and you go back, you are looking for trouble. Amen. Silence now. There are three persons the Lord wants to do a great deliverance in your life. These three persons, your pregnancies were transferred to your father. But those people they call your father, they are not really your father. So either way you are, the power of God is coming upon you. And the yoke of this curse is broken completely. As the first person. That's number two. That's number three. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Now focus on your own life and how these things might have affected you. There is a prayer we need to pray seven times. Seven times. Seven hot times. So please get yourself prepared and ready. Every secret curse working against my destiny. Die! In the name of Jesus. Deal with the secret curse. In Jesus' name we pray. Every secret curse working against my marital life, die in the name of Jesus. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Every secret curse working against my health, die in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Every secret curse working against my potentials, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Jesus' name we pray. Every secret curse working against my prosperity, die in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Every secret curse introducing stagnancy into my life, die in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. This is the final prayer. Every secret curse limiting my spiritual life, die in the name of Jesus. Bosete kapoya boshanda, riba kapanda sete ya boshente ya ba. Aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Every plague brought upon my family life through stolen wives and husbands. Can I hear you shouting this loud and clear? Every plague brought upon my family line through stolen wives and husbands. Shout it loud and clear. In the name of Jesus. Boraboko posenteka, maraboso poko ya boshente raba. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us have still to continue some of these prayers at home. Amen. Raise up your right hand to the heavenly, my beloved. Say, as from tonight, I shall pursue every pursuer. I shall pursue every pursuer. The Goliath in my foundation shall die.
And every secret Eden curse shall be broken. In the name of Jesus. Now you are going to open your mouth and pray again like this before we go. Every secret dedication that is affecting my life negatively now, break in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us share the grace of fellowship.